you know, and sharing what it was like to be the child of an alcoholic. TV star Suzanne Summers told the late-night talk show host who was interviewing her that her therapist claimed that she had the lowest self-esteem of anyone he had ever counseled. Now, that was an admonition that shocked more than just her interviewer, because at the time, she was the star of a hit TV show called Step to Step, Step by Step, and she was frequently featured on the cover of popular magazines. I mean, she had every reason to be positive and upbeat about herself. But strangely, though, this is not uncommon, to discover that those you would think have super egos, like pro athletes, actors, models, often have a low self-image. It's an affliction with a wide range, as it tends to affect all people at times, including you and me, when we have a low self-esteem, when we have issues. And that's due to the society that we live in. That's due to the way our parents bring us up. That's due to the sometimes unrealistic standards we tend to set for ourselves in life, making it difficult for anyone to reach adulthood without suffering some level, some aspects of bruises to one's ego, self-image, without feeling that they don't measure up at times. Like a woman who may feel that she doesn't measure up when someone she considers more attractive, more outgoing, enters the room. Or a man might feel that he doesn't measure up if his wife happens to make a higher income than he does. Or how I confess, sometimes I feel inadequate that I don't measure up when I watch my wife tile a bathroom floor, patch a ceiling, drive a nail much straighter than I can do it. But you know, here's the problem. It's not the comparisons that give us low self-esteem. It's basically because we're judging ourselves by the wrong standards. For example, if you had a yardstick that you'd accidentally cut the last 2 or 3 inches off of, you would never continue to use it to measure out cloth for making curtains, right? You'd be foolish to. But it's essentially what we do when we take and we use the standards that society, that Hollywood, that Wall Street, that our friends, that even we in our crazy moments set for ourselves, and use those to judge ourselves by. Because these are all unreliable scales for determining our worth. They're the wrong standards. And if Steve May says that every outside influence we have on our life helps lead us to have bruised self-esteem, that it contributes to our low self-image, then we have to question, where will we find a reliable standard for measuring our worth to determine our self-image? Well, of course, the immediate answer is, you go to God. He's the creator. He created us in his image. And that alone, well, that says you're worth something, right? But in the New Testament, I want to point us to the passage that we just read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 to 21, where Paul uses this really to measure our self-worth. He said, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Because essentially, our self-esteem is found in our identity. It's found in our identity. And when we have a warped or distorted perception of who we are, that's when we have low self-esteem. You know, there's many wives that remain with abusive husbands, many employees that stay working for abusive bosses because they have this wrong perception of who they are. They think, this is who I am, this is what I deserve. Anyone who allows himself to continually be taken advantage of, that's what his thinking is. Their self-esteem is sacrificed to the whim of the person that's exerting power and influence into their lives. Like Olympic gold medalist diver Greg Louganis, he happened to tell Barbara Walters in an interview that, well, The reason he excelled in swimming, the reason he concentrated on that, was because he didn't fit at school. He said the kids made fun of him because of his dark skin, because they called him sissy. And so he tried to compensate for them not allowing him into their social circles by being the best swimmer he could be. And you know, you would have thought, hey, Olympic gold medalist, he'd have been on the top of the world, champion like that. But yet, he admitted he was miserable. He was miserable. And this was what allowed him, with his low self-esteem, to be led into an abusive homosexual relationship that eventually led him to be HIV/AIDS infected. And so here's the question. If low self-esteem is based on a disordered perception of yourself, then what it says is we need to adopt the one that we're given by God. And that's when we place our faith in Christ, to see ourselves, our identity in him. For the moment you ask Christ into your life, he makes you brand new. He makes you a new creation. He starts you on the track to becoming ever more like him. And that certainly has worth, to be like Christ. You're made worthy, righteous with God. You know, with the church in New York, we had a guy who was a long-distance trucker. That was kind of who he identified himself with. I mean, you said, hi, I'm Jerry. He said, I'm Pumpkin. I'm a trucker. That's who he was. And then, all of a sudden, he developed a very serious problem with his legs, and he could no longer drive. He was beside himself. Who was he then? Until he finally understood that his identity in Christ was much more important. And it's what you need to do. If you're someone who suffers from a low self-image, start to see yourself the way the Lord does. Once you place your faith in Jesus, he sees you as a new creation. Not the pitiful, not the unworthy, not the victim you may believe yourself to be. Because you're judged and compared yourself to the wrong standards, now you need to judge yourself in Christ. And folks, if you're somebody who wants to feel accepted, you stop and think about it this way. Which is more important in the whole scheme of eternity? To be accepted by others or to be accepted by God? As you see yourself in Jesus Christ. And of course, your self-esteem can also come from your mission. Not to be confused with your job, but your mission. As in verse 18, Paul said, God gives those who are in Christ a calling, a ministry, the ministry of reconciliation, which verse 20 makes believers ambassadors to Christ. I mean, stop and think how impressed you would be if all of a sudden you got a phone call from the president of the country who said, I have a special assignment for you. Whoa, you'd be blown away. Well, here's the thing. When you are in Christ, you have been given a special calling, a special job, a special ministry that should contribute to your self-esteem, to know that the God of the universe has given you the calling of bringing others to know him, to convince others to put their faith in Jesus. You know, experts tell us those who suffer from low self-esteem never seem to pursue dreams. They never seem to pursue a mission or really anything significant in life because they believe they are just incapable of ever achieving it. But here's the thing. If you're in Christ, you've already been given that mission. A crucial mission. Now, let's not be confused. It's not to save people, but it's really to make yourself available for God to use to reach others, to be a channel of his grace. And here's the thing. God gifts you specifically for that purpose with the people that you come in contact with in life. I mean, think about that. That means that God sees you as the best way he has to reach particular people. And he's gifted you to that end. Can you think of anything, any ministry that could ever add anything more to your self-esteem? Well, a lot of people feel good about their professional accomplishments. I must admit, when I was in business, I felt good when I finally became a vice president. And when you're in business like that, you feel good about the size of your salary. I mean, I had salary goals when I was in business. I wanted to make so much by each age. And I hit every one, and I was proud of it. But you know, those professional accomplishments, they're nothing, nothing compared to the eternal accomplishments of being used by God to bring someone to know Jesus. Because you have the opportunity when you're on mission, the one that God has called you to in Christ, to make an eternal difference in someone's life. And folks, before you start beating yourself up and thinking, okay, I've been given that mission, but boy, I haven't been doing a lot. Whew. Think about this. The main thing is that you have been chosen. It's not as important as to what you accomplish. It's that God valued you enough to choose you to use to reach others for Him. And besides, number one, now that you realize how important the mission is that you have, you can do better. You can start to do better today. And number two, here's the thing. While you may look at what you're doing to share Christ with others and say, you know, I'm not accomplishing much, we never know the eternal outcome of who we are sharing Christ with. We never know that even when we're rebuffed, how that might just plant the seed or how that may water the seed to bring someone to ultimate faith. I shared Jesus with somebody this week. I prayed with that person. She did not pray with me. But I had the sense that even though she didn't on the spot, maybe she went home on her own, she would. We never know. We never know. And number three, when you think of the spiritual giants like Francis of Assisi, John Wesley, Billy Graham, they would all tell you that their work was insignificant. Insignificant. It's the fact that you have been called to represent Him, that you contribute to your self-esteem. Mother Teresa, she won the Nobel Prize. She announced she would no longer accept any more awards because she said that was not her calling, to receive accolades and to give speeches. Her calling was to serve the poor in Calcutta. And that was the point she made. Not to say that her self-esteem was based on God's calling, but that's the truth. You don't look at your spiritual accomplishments of leading people to God and say, hey, Lord, look at what I've done for you. It's, wow, I'm blown away by how you have used me to reach others for you. Now, having said self-esteem is found in your identity and is found in your mission, it's also found in your potential. Verse 21, Paul said, for our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What this says is that whoever or whatever label the world has put on you up till now, that label may be loser, may be failure, it may be fat, it may be ugly, may be divorcee, whatever that label is, that's removed. And that's replaced with a new label. A new label. Because in the past, your old label might have been sinner, but now in Christ, your new label is saint. In the past, your old label might have been condemned, but now your new label is forgiven. Your old label might have been dead in sin, but now it's alive in Christ. Because regardless of what you may think about yourself, the Bible makes clear exactly what God now thinks about you when you're in Christ. Romans 8:1 says, there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 10:10 adds, how you have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Christ. Colossians 2:22 says, he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight. Holy in his sight. You know, in talking about sight, one of the expressions in the Old Testament that God uses to refer to his people is the title of this sermon, the apple of his eye. It's found in several places, but it's first found in Deuteronomy 32:10. And there God is describing how he cares for Jacob's tribe while they wandered in the wilderness. He says, in a desert land, he found him in a barren and howling waste. He shielded him and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye. Now, figuratively, that's a Hebrew idiom that never refers to a thing, but always to a person. And it's the sense of a person who is cherished above others. Cherished above others. And in the original Hebrew, it can be translated literally as the little man in the eye. It creates a word picture of how sometimes, maybe you've done this, you stand close enough to a person, you can see your own reflection in the pupils of the other person. The sense of it is it conveys an intimate, personal relationship, an idiom that was used most often to describe a father's love for his child. And when you think about how God sent his son to die for you, you can't be a loser. You can't be a loser. Because when you accept Christ, God begins to look at you and he sees Christ. He sees the apple of his eye. That's the label God places on you when you placed your faith in Jesus. The apple of his eye. You know, in Scripture, Jesus had a disciple who was violent. He was argumentative. He was impulsive. He was selfishly ambitious. But instead of calling him any of those, instead of giving him those labels, Jesus called him Peter, which means rock. So while the world may have seen Peter as the one who, you know, tried to walk on water but couldn't, while they may have seen Peter as a man who refused to have his feet washed by Jesus, while they may have seen Peter as the one who denied Christ not once but three times, the one who ran away when Jesus was arrested and taken off to be killed, the one who made mistake after mistake, Jesus didn't see him that way at all. Jesus saw him for his potential. Jesus saw him as a leader of his church. Jesus saw him as the one who would preach and proclaim a gospel to lead 3,000 souls to Christ on the day of Pentecost. Jesus saw him as the one who would someday write Scripture. Jesus saw him as the one who would one day die as a martyr for Jesus Christ. Because Jesus sees your potential, not your past. He sees your potential, not your past. And that's the way you need to look at yourself when you're in Christ. Stop looking at your past and start imagining your potential. Your potential. And you eliminate whatever reason you might have for low self-esteem, for thinking you're a loser. Because in Christ, your potential is unlimited. You know, maybe you've heard the story of the flea riding in the elephant's ear. They come to this little wooden bridge. And as they cross the bridge, of course, because of the elephant, it's all shaky all over it, they barely get to the other side before, and it doesn't quite collapse. Wow. The flea whispers in the elephant's ear, boy, we really shook that bridge, didn't we? Of course, the flea wasn't responsible for it. But he thought he was. He had a share in it because of his relationship with the elephant. And here's the thing. Whenever you're thinking down upon yourself, think about your relationship with the Lord. You're never a loser. In Christ, you're never a loser. You know, you may have heard that clothes make the man. You know, when Paul was encouraging believers to live up to their salvation, in Romans 13, 14, he said to clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the question this morning is, have you done it? Have you placed your faith in Jesus? Well, if you do, start seeing yourself the way God does. He sees you as a new creation. He sees you as someone with a mission in life. He sees you as one of his ambassadors. He sees your potential and all that he can use you to be. He sees you as the apple of his eye. For that's what you are in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, there may be some who've come this morning who've had a low self-image, who've thought of themselves as losers because of things that have happened to them in life, because of the way others have abused them. Lord, help them to start seeing them the way you do, in Christ, as the apple of your eye. Lord, that according to your word, that you cared enough. They're worthy enough. You made them fearfully and wonderfully in the womb. You knit them together. And you created them in your image. And you gifted them, given them a ministry, and given us a future with you. But you've given us worth, all because you've given us your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, if there's anyone here today who's feeling down about themselves, I pray that your word has touched their hearts, lifted their spirits, and helped them to understand how you see them. And that as they leave today, they go home changed, different, uplifted, as they understand that together their potential is unlimited when they walk with you. This is our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.